Yeah, did we do the offering? We did the offering. Yeah. We did. We did. We passed it around and everything. Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. We'll do the video next week. It's really okay. Yep. Okay, so Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old. 2 Kings 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Wow, that's amazing. 8 years old, and he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adahai, and she was from this city that I can't pronounce. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And that's okay to do while you read your Bible. If you can't pronounce it, don't try. Just, okay, it's there. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or the left. So Josiah, even at his young age, he did what was right in the sight of God, right? So in the next couple of verses, I'm just going to go kind of give you an idea what happens in the next couple of verses, is I think it's in the 18th year of his reign, Josiah decides that he wants to go and he wants to fix the temple. The temple needed some repair and needed to go and kind of fix things up, and was kind of in disarray. So he goes, and while the guys are down there repairing the temple, he finds something in the temple. In 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8, it says, the high priest said to that guy, "I have found the book of the law in the temple." And he gave it to him to read it. And then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported that your officials have paid the money that was in the temple of the Lord and has entrusted the workers and supervisors in the temple. And then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me the book." And Shaphan read the book in the presence of the king. So what did he do? He found the book and he read it to the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, the Bible says he tore his clothes and he repented. Then in chapter 23, verse 1, then the king, after he received the word, right, called together all the elders of Judah, and Jerusalem, and he went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets. All the people, from the least to the greatest, he read in their hearing all the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments, statutes, and decrees with all of his heart and soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant which was written in the book. And listen to this. It says, all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. All the people pledged themselves to the covenant. You know, there's so much in that portion of Scripture. There's so much in the story of Josiah. Josiah has always been a guy that's really kind of blows your mind that he was started king when he was 8 years old. I think of an 8 year old. Hey, you're the king. Wow, okay, that's interesting. So, but then as he grows up, the Bible has a lot to say about how he honored God, right? And how he chose, and we know that he must have, even before they found the book, had some kind of semblance of religious-y kind of stuff, right, in him, because he decided that it was important to go fix up the temple. So there's something about Josiah. He fixes up the temple. He finds the Bible, right? He finds and he repents, and this causes revival all through Jerusalem. And all the people, the Bible says, all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. So how do we respond to the Bible? How do we respond? Interesting, the Barna group, they do kind of polls, and they kind of test, they figure out what's going on, the culture of stuff, and they kind of do, they do surveys, thank you, they do surveys. And it says this, more than half Americans think the Bible has little influence on has too little influence in the culture, and they see the moral decline because of it. Yet only 1 in 5 Americans read their Bibles on a regular basis, according to the new survey. More than 3/4 of Americans, 77%, think 77% of America think the nation's morality is heading downhill. The survey showed that the Bible was still firmly rooted in American soil. The Bible's still rooted. No matter what the media says, no matter what people says, and to the effect that 88% of respondents said that the Bible was a sacred book. 88%. 61% of people wish they read the Bible more. And the average household still in America has 4.4 Bibles. That's interesting. You have a 0.4 Bible. Yes, that's right. If you have a toddler, they might not understand that whole sacred book thing. If they do read it, the majority, 50%, only read the Bible four times a year or less. Only 26% of Americans say they read their Bible. Only 26% of Americans say they read their Bibles on a regular basis, meaning four or more times a week. So we know we have a problem. We know by statistics what the solution is, but we fail to do it. That's the problem in our country, in America. And the guy who did this this article that I read said this: it's like being out of shape. Most of us know we're out of shape, but we don't really change our habits or we exercise at all to change that thing, right? So what is that? What is it about our culture that says, hey, we know really the solution. We know this book is like this ancient, great, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in it, and probably if we would implement the Bible more into our culture, things would be better. But so few actually put this book, like we get this book in even in our hearts, right? 2 Corinthians, I believe 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 has the answer to this. He says, and even our gospel is veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We always need to understand that there is an enemy force out there that tries to veil this book over not only, I believe, not only unbelievers, but believers' eyes. That the truths of this book, we don't take them like seriously like once maybe we once did, right? We don't honor the Word. And even among Christians, we don't honor the Word. See, we know that Josiah had a form of faith in the beginning, right? Because he did some of the rituals, right? He did some of the cleansing of the temple. He was kind of working on that. And then he finds the book and repents. Because he sees what was in the book, and his book, when he opened the book, he responded to what it said in the pages of the book. It caused him to do action because of what he read. So what's so great about the Bible? Everything. What's so great about the Bible? And you know what? I can go through and I can do like a nice big apologetic speech about the validity of the Word of God and how it was formed and how it was written and why it's so important. And I could talk about the historical, the archaeological digs that are going on actually there's kind of a big thing kind of in the last few years going on about the person of David. Well, they just said, hey, didn't he really exist? And now they're finding all this archaeological stuff that says, oh, no, wait, we were wrong. He did. And we could talk about all this stuff, but I don't want to talk about that this morning because most of you this morning that I'm talking to are believers, or you do already have a high understanding of this book. I want to stir you this morning that if you're not a person who gets in this Bible, I want to encourage you and stir you up to read it, to get into this book. And I'll tell you why. First of all, the Bible is alive and it's active. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Man, when you start reading this book, It affects you on the inside. It shows you what the truth is. And it judges your heart. You know what? The truth is, we can put up all a front. We can put up all a thing that everything is great and all things. Man, until you start reading this book and you go, wait, that exposed something on the inside of me. It's alive and it's active. And there's something about this book. It's not like the Iliad or the Odyssey, right? It's a book that's alive. These pages, these books, and the words on it are alive. When we read this Bible, it affects us. It brings change. The Bible says about itself, actually, in 2 Peter 1:20 through 21, it says, knowing first that no prophecy of Scripture or even private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old times, but by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. This book, we believe, is what we call God-breathed. God breathed this book. And when people wrote in this, wrote down the historical stories, the poetry, the stories of Jesus, when they wrote these stories, there were people moved on by the Holy Spirit. Understand that this is, it's not only going to, this is at the end of the day, this is a faith thing. But too many people, they disregard it and say, oh, it was just written by man. It was just written by just people. And, you know, they took a lot of these books out of the Bible. And, you know, they did this, you know, did that. You know what? Quite honestly, those are the same people who don't read it. Because if you were to get in it and read it, it would start affecting you and it would start seeing, because then you will see, wow, it's alive. You cannot read this book and not let it affect you. I mean, there's countless stories of people who are atheists, devout atheists, and they went, I'm going to get into this book and I'm going to prove it wrong. They come out being a believer. You know why? Because this book is alive. It's active. It's breathed on by the Holy Spirit. And when you read it, careful, you may get breathed on by the Holy Spirit. The second thing, it's a mirror. When we look at this book, it exposes us. When we look at it, it's like a mirror. Like this morning, hopefully you looked in a mirror before you left the house, right? I mean, you all look pretty great, so I'm assuming that you all did. But when you look at the mirror, like when you look up at a mirror, you look and you see and you're like, oh, damn, my hair's not quite right. I need a little bit more mousse. Do people even use mousse anymore? Hairspray and gel, whatever that stuff, especially if you have this stuff going on and this is thinning and you got to fix it. But you look and you look at it through a mirror and you're like, I got a boogie. Do I got everything all right? Everything all right? Okay, we got, you know, if you're a guy, you're like, I got to trim that. That's kind of crazy, so I'm not, you know, I want to scare people, be in front of people today. But you look in that mirror, and that mirror exposes things in your face and in your dress or whatever that you need to fix or change because of a mirror. You know the illustration. This book is like a mirror. When I look into the perfect law of liberty, it exposes things on the inside. I don't try to fix the mirror. I don't try to change the mirror. I change the reflection that this book reflects back on me, and it shows me intentions in my heart that I need to change. Josiah was a man that when he read the book, he went, oh, no, I'm doing things wrong. God, forgive me. And he, as an act of repentance, tears his clothes. See, too often we just kind of, I remember this guy, and I went to a Christian school, and I'll never forget this message as long as I live, but he had a book up there, and he would read these really hard scriptures about our character and about, you know, as a teenager, I'll never forget this, and he would take it and he'd go, just ripped the pages right out, wadded it up, and threw it, and he goes, I don't want to deal with that. Took another page, read another tough scripture, and I remember as a kid in the high school, just going, oh my God, as a Christian high school, going, you've just violated so many laws. Like, are you going to hell? You're going to hell because you just ripped the... But that message so impacted me, I was tempted to do it today, but I wasn't going to do it. But I remember that vivid illustration of somebody ripping out pages. He goes, no, that didn't really. And I like what somebody said, I can't remember who said it. They say, you know how you highlight your Bibles? He says, well, that scripture, I'm just going to use black highlighter. Mark that right out. I don't want to have to deal with that. Because it exposes the intentions of the heart. See, we need to, this man used to say this. He goes, if the cat doesn't like the way he's being petted, let the cat turn around. Right? If you don't like, we can't change the Word of God. We move our lives into it. We don't just change it and go, I don't really like that anymore. I don't really think that really applies. I don't really think that applies to our culture anymore because our culture is so sophisticated. You know what? If I'm gonna err, I'm going to err following this book. And when I get to heaven, I'll look at God and say, God, I was just going by your book. Not wishing and hoping. Can we just be honest? There's some things in this Bible that I wish wasn't in there. But that's when we make the choice. Do I follow? Am I a follower of God? Or am I just a fan? Right? Do I just kind of, am I a bandwagon fan? Do I only root for the Falcons when they're winning? Do I only root for God or follow His Word whenever it seems okay? Or when it would go really great in a debate at work? But I take this book, I apply it to my life. It's for direction. Psalms 119, 105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word of God keeps you on the right path. It keeps us on the right path. It shows us the direction to go. It tells me as a husband how I'm supposed to treat my wife. It tells me as a pastor how to keep the body of Christ and what my role is. It tells you, it tells all of us as believers what our role is in God's plan and in the story that God's telling. It's a direction for our lives. You know, so many times people go, I just need a word from the Lord, right? I need a word from the Lord. What does God want me to do? There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of word of the Lord right on in here. How about love, right? Love people. Honor people. Serve other people. You know, what I like about this team that just went, they didn't need to open up heaven for a word from the Lord. You know what? The Bible says serve other people. So what do? You just go, okay, I'm out. I'm going. I'm serving. I don't need a committee. I don't need a word. I don't even need an audible voice. I don't need a burning bush experience. The Bible says serve. I'm going to serve. Right? It directs our paths if we allow it. It keeps you from sin. Psalms 119. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I shall seek you with all my heart, and do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I would not sin against you. It'll keep you from trouble. It'll keep you from living a life that doesn't honor God. I live my life according to the word, your word. D.L. Moody said it like this about sin. He said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. D.L. Moody. But the question is, do we read it? Are we people really of the Word? The Bible is our standard. The Bible says all Scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work? Get this word in you. The Bible is the basis for our doctrine. It's the basis for our training in righteousness or right living. It's our basis of living. I will give, listen, I, you and me will give an account before God by this book. By this book. You know, people, I wrote this down, people may think I'm foolish for totally going all in this Bible. Maybe the world and our culture will say I'm foolish for believing this book is all in and all God and everything, and maybe people will criticize me. You know what I say back to the world? How has that doctrine or that thought worked for you? That you've kicked this book out because your intelligence is intelligent it away. How's that worked for our culture? How's that worked for them? I'm not quitting anytime soon. Reading the Word. And in this, Jesus used the Word when he resisted the devil. Every time the devil came up with his temptation, it is written, it is written, it is written. You know why? Because Jesus knew the Word. It was on the inside of him. Jesus didn't have, hey, in the middle of that temptation, Jesus didn't have time to Google it. Right? He didn't have time to go, Google, what is, how do you resist this temptation? Got it, Satan. You know, he had hidden his Word, right? He had the Word on the inside of him. And you gotta, we got to ask the question, like, how much of the Word do I know like that? How, when situations arise, how much of that Word is readily available on the inside because we've been a student of the Word? It's readily available to help us in our lives. Help us when you don't want to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. But you align yourself to the Word. And it's, you know what's amazing? We have a great marriage. You know why we have a great marriage? We practice forgiveness. Why? Because the Word says so. We practice mutual respect. Why? Because the Word says so. We love each other. We honor each other. We prefer each other first. You know why? Because the Word says so. Are there times we don't want to walk in there? I mean, Julie's perfect. She always wants. We align. What are we to do? Read the Word and align our lives to it. Right? I'll use it as my guide. Just like Jesus said, I will say it is written when I come up to situations. I have found it to be the true, a true way to live, have life and life to the full is through the Word, living my life according to the Word. You know, Rachel found this picture. I wanted to show you this picture that she found on Facebook this week. It is a picture of the Holy Bible. It's an offer to buy this Holy Bible. And the good news about it is it's never been opened. Read on the top. Never been opened. I don't want to know about your Bible. Hopefully this wasn't your Bible that you put, because this was here in Woodstock. So many people, that's their testimony. I got my Bible. It's never been open. It's pretty, isn't it? I say this. I say, if you have a Bible, if you have a Bible that you are so careful that you don't want to mess it up and you don't want to write or anything in it or highlight or anything in it, that's wonderful. Put that on the shelf and find one that you can. Oh, you can get that one. $15. Is this your story of your Bible? Is this your story of your Bible app, right? That's never been opened. Like Josiah, we need to find the book. Dust it off. Find the app that you downloaded a long time ago. Maybe you deleted it and it's not, like, if you, once you, like, can you do that? Like, and feel like you're like a real, like, person, can you delete the Bible app on your phone? This is a thought that just popped in my head. Boy, that'd be tough. Delete. You hold it down and hit put the X. No, gosh, that would be terrible. But if you have, it's still in the cloud, so you can just raise it back up, right? It never goes away. Can I encourage you? Read your Bibles. Get in the Word. Be a student of the Word. If you have the King James Bible and you don't understand it, man, the NIV. Let me just encourage you, the NIV. Just go to the NIV. I know it's the nearly inspired version, but it's really good. It's not true. It's not true. I heard this guy say, he goes, you know, I used to read the King James all the time. And he goes, I would pray for revelation, just pray for revelation and pray for revelation. And then I read the NIV and it was right there all along.
That was a Bible scholar.
That was, Rick Houghton, Pastor Merrick Houghton's brother, if you know who that is. Open your Bibles. Get on a Bible reading plan. Listen, let me help you. If you're new to reading the Bible, open up to the Gospel of John and read the story of Jesus. Start there. And listen, can I help you? If you don't understand what you read, keep reading. Keep reading. Find a Bible translation that you can, if you need help, come see myself, Julie, some of the advisors, some other people, and find somebody that'll help you. But get in your Bible and read it. There are plans galore all through. If you don't have the YouVersion Bible on your phone or your tablet, man, go get it. Just get in and start reading. And let the Word of God change you, challenge you. And let's be people that are students of the Word. I got much more to say. We'll talk about that next week, a little bit more next week. And we'll talk about, there's a lot of promises in the book that are for us. And if we don't know them, they'll never become alive on the inside of us. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. And I just want this, over these next 2 weeks, to encourage you to read your Bibles. Can I make that a mantra? Read your Bibles. Get into the Word for yourself. The Dark Ages were called the Dark Ages because nobody had access to the Word of God. Then the wonderful Gutenberg Press came along and changed everything. And then the Reformation, right, happened, and now they took the book that was just for the preachers and all the people, and they gave it to the people. The Bible's been given to us by God to know God better, to know His, you know, God has ways, to know His ways and to act according to His Word. Amen? Be students of the Word. I challenge you that this morning it stirs you up. Let's bow our heads this morning. So God, we come to you.